great thought, and I believe it was strictly and directly from the Lord, Stan. And what I'd like to do is for us in unison, I'll lead it. We're going to say, "We love you, Max." Because I love Max Whittup. He's a true man of integrity and a man of God. And I want him to know that we're thinking about him today. So on the count of three, can we do that? One, two, three. We love you, Max. Yes, we do. Thank you, God. Well, before we get to the crux of the matter, we're going to talk about the crux of the matter. I love that. I remember that as a kid, somebody saying, "Dude, just get to the crux of the matter." And I'm going to do that, but before I do that, I'm going to tell a true story of crazy love. It happened to me this week. And it involves four guys that you all know. And I already told them I was going to call them out about crazy love. It involves Mr. Stan Reber, that was just up here, Brother Tim Nolan, Max Whittup, and my good dear friend Dick Sanborn. And I think they're all here except for Max, and he's hopefully going to hear this and acknowledge his part in this. I'm driving from, been to work, I believe it was Thursday. I come over to the Y to work out, I'm heading home, and I'm not much of a cell phone person. I check it when I get a chance. And I got one of those old slider type things, so you know that I'm telling you the true story. I'm not very technologically endowed, I guess is a good word, but I'm impaired. So anyway, I check it, and I see that I've got a voicemail from Max Whittup. Have no clue what that's about. I listen to it on my way to my house, and I only live a mile west of here, so Max asking me to call him and let him know if I would be willing to cover for him as he's in the hospital. Guess what? The first thing in my mind was, there's somebody else who can do it. That's Thursday, and that's next Wednesday, and I'm a guy, and I'm basically OCD to a certain degree. And I like a lot of time to prepare and pray and research, and I'm thinking, this has got to be a mistake. It's not me. He meant to call somebody else. Please, Lord. So I think I even said that prayer out loud in my car. So I call Max, and of course I'm instantly convicted because Max is a wonderful human being, and I love him dearly, and he's asking me to do it and feels like I'm supposed to do it, and my name came to him. So I'm thinking, maybe there's another way I could call Brother Tim and get out of this. But I emailed Tim that night, and you must not have worked Friday, dude, because you didn't respond to my email. I'm just saying, crazy love. Chuck, you're supposed to do it. Don't bother Tim. So then, this is the best. This is where it gets real good. We're getting to the crux of the matter, because Brother Sanborn calls me Saturday morning. And I think, I don't remember if you text me first, said call me when you get a chance. This dude says to me, "Hey, Chuck, would you be willing to go to Century Villa and speak on Sunday?" I'm like, what? Now I'm, wait a minute. I'm preparing for next Wednesday that morning, and Brother Sandberg asked me, I said, "Dick, dude, I would love to do that sometime, but this Sunday's probably not the best because I'm preparing, and I probably will get the two mixed up, and I'll be a mess." He goes, "Don't worry about it. It's okay." I said, "Well, I'm speaking at Huddle on Wednesday." "Oh, good," I think he said. Yeah, it gets funnier. Because then I hang up the phone, I get on my email, Brother Nolan on there responds to my email and says, "Hey, don't worry about it. Dick Sanborn's got it covered." Now, is this crazy love? I just talked to Brother Sanborn. The email was sent. Brother Sanborn didn't say a word about thanks for covered Huddle because you just got me out of it. He's asking me to do another speaking engagement. That is crazy love. So guess what I did? I called Brother Sanborn back. Yes, and I love the answer, Dick. He says, "No, I knew that I was going to do it, but as soon as you said you're going to do it," he said, "didn't you hear a sigh of relief in my voice?" Like I was supposed to be listening for a sigh of relief. I had no clue. But anyway, true story. So here I am, the crux of the matter. Chapter 10, Francis Chan's book, Crazy Love. If you've not had a chance, and after you've heard the speakers that have spoken on this, I would recommend that you pick it up still. And I don't know, are there any left, Dick? Got some books, they're all gone. Anybody that needs one, I will donate this to you. See me afterwards. Because I finished it up. Since I was going to be doing this chapter, I said I better go ahead and read it a couple times. Francis Chan talks about the crux of the matter. So I thought, crux of the matter. And anybody in here ever use that term? Show of hands. Few? Most of you are over 50, I see, that are raising your hands. I'm thinking that's an old school term, Ron. The crux of the matter. So I remember saying that or having that said to me probably more than I said it, because I kind of go, as you've noticed, around the tree to get to the house or whatever. The crux of the matter. So I look up crux, and the Latin version of crux, it said cross or crossing, crossroads, crucifixion, crux. And then I looked a little deeper, and it says the central theme, or getting to the heart, the crucial point of reference, the vital or decisive point to be made. It's basic. It's the essential. It's like get to the critical, pivotal point or feature. So I thought of a way to say that. McCoskovian type theory. Keep the main thing the main thing. Okay? Keep the main thing the main thing. But then you got the matter. And you, okay, so what's the matter? I mean that, like, what is the matter? The matter could be anything we decide it to be. The matter could be a life-threatening illness. The matter could be work. The matter could be marriage, divorce, children, grandchildren, hobbies. So when we talk about the matter tomorrow is Thanksgiving. And what's the crux of the matter for Thanksgiving? Blessings. To give thanks, not turkey. Who said that? Football. That's a great example of what I'm talking about. So the crux of the matter is different for everybody. Who said that? Because that was perfect. I didn't pay anybody to say that, but that was absolutely perfect, the little guy. Think about family, the matter. Unconditional love is what I thought. Work. Is it a paycheck or is it your life's calling? What's the crux of the matter for you? Security? Is it about your 401k, your finances, your bank account, savings account? How about friends? To me, it's fellowship, loving one another, having people pray for you, worship with you. How about the legal system? I work in the legal system. I'd like to think that the legal system, the crux of the matter, is justice. And there's a lot of people struggling with that right now in Ferguson. So the crux of the matter. Well, Francis Chan in chapter 10, he says to consider in terms of Christianity and living for Christ and being a lover of God our Father, that we should begin to look at, hear this, you ready? Because here it comes, the crux of the matter. To look at each person that comes into our path, no matter if it's a stranger, a grandchild, a brother, a sister, a mother, husband, spouse, next door neighbor, to look at them as if they are Jesus Christ Himself. Man, ponder that for a second. Because this is where it gets real serious. If we were to do that, each one of us, beginning with huddle men, man, what would happen? What do you guys think would happen if we all made a commitment to see each person that we come into contact and to treat them as if they were Jesus Christ? Do you think it would make a difference? Would it make a difference in you or them? Both. Yeah, absolutely. Would it make a difference in our community, our world? I'd like to think so. I think that he hit the nail on the head. The crux of the matter. So to do that, he goes on to say that we need to listen and to obey. And sometimes people want to argue about the listening point. You know, and most of us, I get paid to be a good listener. I've been trained to be a good listener. But the obedience part sometimes isn't quite as easy as the listening. Somebody said amen. I agree. So how do you think if we begin to do those two things? to listen to God and then to obey God and to see each other and everyone in our sphere of influence as Jesus Christ. Then let me take it a step further. Is what you're doing right now where you are the most loving way that you can do life? Got real quiet. Yeah, I want you to ponder that. Where you're living, where you're working, where you're walking, are you loving your neighbor, loving your coworkers, where you go to church, in your community? By how you walk and how you talk. These are hard questions. Now, there have been some really great talks this semester, and I think you all would agree with that. I've sat over there at the table with my brothers, and we've enjoyed some rich conversation and fellowship about the talks that we've heard. There's been some aha moments, would you guys say? We've had some aha moments, some great memories. But here's the key. If we don't live or act out or apply what we've learned, I hate to even say the word, we've failed. We have failed. The crux of the matter. Ultimately, it's about our relationship with Christ. If we love Him, do you think we will desire to listen and to obey? Here's the cool thing. God has created all of us in our own uniqueness. Our own uniqueness. And I used to say, or I was told, I had a case of terminal uniqueness. That's the negative side. The positive side is that we each have gifts. We each have been created to be where we are, where we're called, our purpose. Do you know your purpose? Have you got to the crux of the matter? What has God created you to do? What special gifts, abilities, places? Kokomo, Indiana. Basement of the courthouse. Where have we been called to live out that crux of the matter that He calls us to? Ready for this? God is a creator, not a duplicator. I like that. You know? I'm a rhyme. I like to bust a rhyme once in a while. I don't remember asking for audience feedback at that time. I'm CMC. You all know me. I used to work at Delphi D&E. I was the EAP. I was the one they would come to see when I thought they wanted to be free. But see, it wasn't me. It was JC. How you like me now? Alright, so here we go. Crux of the matter. John, I think I wrote this on the front of the outline. 1 John 3:18. It says, "Dear children," that's us, that's all of us, no matter how old, how young, or how middle-aged, "let us not love with words or with tongue, but with actions and in truth." That, my friends, is where the rubber meets the road. You ready? We got to quit talking about it and be about it. We got to quit talking about it and be about it. Had a coach in high school said, you got the easy part done when you're talking about it. When you go out there, you got to put everything we put into practice and do what needs to be done. And that's what God is asking us to do. That is the crux of the matter, my friends. I remember when I was in fifth, sixth grade, I went to Jefferson School, which is no longer there. Then I went to Hayworth High School. It's no longer there. Went to Washington School. It's no longer there. It's now then. Beginning to wonder, right? So in the fifth or sixth grade, they had a basketball team. We played basketball in the basement of Jefferson School. And I don't know if anybody else went there, but you couldn't shoot with much arch because it would hit the ceiling. But we actually played other fifth and sixth grade teams. And at that point in my life, very immature, didn't know who I was, didn't know much about where I was going. But I knew I liked basketball and I wanted to be a part of a team. I wanted to connect with a team and most of my buddies were on that team. And I remember I wasn't any good. I wasn't very good at all. I sat at the end of the bench. And I'd be down there ducking back when the coach would look. Please don't put me in. Scared to death to go in a game. As I progressed and began to play basketball, and growing up in Gateway Gardens, you played basketball or you were in jail. And I chose basketball at that time. And I learned how to play pretty well because I play with some really bad dudes. I mean, I'm talking some bad dudes. They were tough, and you learned how to get tough. And I got where I was pretty good, and I played junior high and high school. And I didn't want to come out of the game. I didn't want to be on the bench. I use that story to tell you because that's the same thing God wants from us. He wants us to get off the bench. He wants us in the game of life. He wants us to use our gifts to honor Him, to bless Him, to win other people that are lost, and to show them our experience, our strength, and the hope that we have today. It's time to quit talking about it and be about it. It's time to get in the game. A couple other scriptures I want to mention. Matthew 22, 37 and 39. Two greatest commandments. To love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The second is much like it. To love your neighbor as yourself. So if we love and we obey, we put ourselves in situations that are scary. Brother Chan said that's an important thing to do, to put ourselves in situations that are scary. Dustin, I was thinking, you did that not too long ago. He stepped up and took over as chief probation officer. He could have still been back there in that little corner just doing your thing. You stepped up, what you were called to do. The key is God will come through for us. It works out because He will show up. And then all we got to do is trust Him, listen, and obey. But we got to be deliberate about that. Got to be intentional about that. We can walk out of here again and talk about it, but that doesn't get it done. I'll tell you, am I about out of time? I want to read this because I can't do it justice trying to say what it says. On page 169, the crux of the matter, he says, most of us were waiting for God to reveal His calling on our life as a means of avoiding action. We're waiting for Him to call us to action rather than take action to avoid it. Did you hear God calling you to sit on a couch and watch a football game this Thursday? Seriously. Did you hear God calling you to go on vacation last month? How about exercise? Anybody exercise this morning? God call you to do that? Probably not, but you still did it. He says the point isn't that the vacations or exercise are wrong, but that we're much too quick to rationalize our entertainment and priorities, yet are slow to commit to serving God. Whew. You guys wear your steel-toe shoes today? Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. He did not say, if you love me, you will obey when you feel called to do something good or to do something about it. If we love, we obey, period. That's just matter-of-fact obedience. Do what He says. Okay, so, crux of the matter. The crux of the matter involves, I think it really has to involve, starting right in our own homes. We've heard that a lot this semester. Saw a lot of guys bringing their wives in. And what a great blessing if we could all share, and I would share for days, about my wife and her tolerance for me and what she's put up with and continues to tolerate because she loves me unconditionally. But we're to give that same love, back to what I said, every person that we come into contact with, we're to see Jesus Christ in their face, in their problems, in their issues. And then to share the hope that we have in Christ. If we do that, I believe, again, we can't do it alone. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have that power available to us. It's been promised to us. So it's Thanksgiving tomorrow, guys. It's a day of blessing. It's a day to be thankful. But I'm asking you, let's don't just talk about it. Let's live a life of thanksgiving. Let's live a life of thankfulness. Let's live a life getting to the crux of the matter, being intentional and being deliberate about that. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. Just a great day to be alive. I thank you for men that came out today to hear what you have to say. I pray, God, for fertile ground in their hearts, in their hearing. But now, God, we're called to be doers of the word. Help us today. Lead us. Help us to ponder these questions that you've put on the paper and to share our strength, our experience, the hope, our struggles. That's what the tables are for. So I ask for that today, for your guidance with the table leaders. I pray that you continue to bless and bring us back to this place at the appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen. So don't talk about it, be about it. Happy Thanksgiving.